I once heard that leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality. Well, on episode 528 on the Flip Empire Show, I got my good friend Mark De La Tour out from Kansas City, Missouri, on the show, just dropping some gems and sharing his wisdom and insight. Mark has been in the real estate investing business over the span of 20 years and has taken his company to be the leader when it comes to providing turnkey rentals in the Midwest. And he's absolutely smashing it. What's most impressive about Mark is not his business savvy and how he's grown his team so much over the course of the last 5-10 years, but the type of person he is, the leader he is, and his heart for giving and service. So on today's podcast, we're going to outline and talk about, you know, his journey, how he got from where he was to where he is today and how he continues to grow. He's got a, if you've ever heard of the acronym BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Goal, that's something you're going to hear us talk about. Mark's goal is 1,000 homes a year. And believe it or not, he's not that far off. His company's on track to do roughly around 300 homes this year. And like I said, they're the leader in the Kansas City, Missouri area for providing turnkey rentals. And on today's podcast, we're going to talk about if you aspire to grow your business and if you aspire to scale responsibly. In fact, you're going to hear Mark talk about scaling under control. What does that mean exactly? How do you scale responsibly? How do you scale your business under control while at the same time maintaining your lifestyle, while at the same time not sacrificing the things that might be most important to you? For many people, it's family. It could be your time freedom. It could be, I truly believe, my friend, that we live in an and world, not an either or world. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about on today's podcast, where he's going to share with you the property management component. Wow, that's such a critical piece of the business. And so if you have no desire to build and scale a property management company like Mark has done, what are some of the questions you need to ask property managers to make sure that you're working with the right one? Because they can make or break, you know, your portfolio. You know, we talk about how to invest passively, whether you want to be the operator or whether you just want to put your money into deals. And there's so much more. I'm just scratching the surface. Before we get into today's episode, I want to go ahead and just let you know that one of the tools that I continue to hear about over and over and over again from some of the most successful real estate investors across the country, I've had the opportunity to be so connected to them, is a PropStream. So you guys can actually, if you use the link flipempire.com/PropStream, here's what I got for you. Not only can you get a free 7-day trial, but I will actually hop on a strategy call with you and I'll show and I'll share with you how I've used it, how to access certain lists, not just the tax delinquents and divorce, but like the specialty niche list that they continue to add. These are tools that you can use to pull properties and comps nationwide. It's essentially big data real estate tailored for you. You know, you can run comps on there. You could do targeted marketing list, owner contact lookup. They have skip trace. They have a list stacker. I mean, so many benefits can really help you in your real estate business. So again, if you guys go to flipempire.com/PropStream, you can get a free 7-day trial and then we could schedule a strategy session as well and go from there. So my friend, without further ado, I'm excited to introduce you to my buddy, Mr. Mark De La Tour.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome, my friends, to another masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. I have shared with you guys, or this is episode 528. And to my surprise, I haven't had my good friend Mark De La Tour on, but we're about to change that. I'm about to introduce you to someone who I met at a high-level mastermind going probably back 3 years now. And you know, when you join these masterminds, at least this particular one, I was exposed and met so many amazing people. And Mark was one of 3 or 4 people that really jumped out at me. I remember he shared and he spoke on stage about building a winning culture. And I was not just as impressed by the business that he's built, but the type of man he is and the person he is, his heart for service and forgiving. And so, Mark, my friend, man, absolute honor and pleasure to have you on the podcast, brother.
Alex, thanks, mate. It's, like you say, long overdue, but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. Fantastic. Well, what I'd like to do is give people, we already talked about, you know, who you are in the intro, but I want to kind of hit the fast forward button. Give people a kind of a big picture view of what your business looks like today, because, you know, for those of you listening and watching, wholesaling and rehabbing are fantastic business models to generate cash. But the question becomes then is, how do you build wealth? You know, how do you take that cash and put it into assets that are going to spit off cash flow? I can tell you when I met Mark, you know, I didn't have a rental portfolio and that was the focus at the time. And Mark was a big help for me in guiding me to like, hey, how do I start to build passive income through a rental portfolio? And that's just one of the ways that Mark has done it in his business. So Mark, man, give people kind of like the big picture. What does your business look like today?
Sure. So our business is really four businesses in one. So we have quiet properties, we remodel them, we get them rented out, and then we sell them. So we're a full turnkey provider. Obviously, those four businesses have scaled and provided unique challenges along the way, Alex, because, you know, when you're buying, well, what do we do today? Today, we buy around 250 doors per year, and we flip probably 50 of those on the MLS, and 200 of those become full turnkey products that we sell to, will be at 1,000 doors by this time next year.
Incredible. Well, like you said, property management is a beast. And I have found that's where a lot of real estate investors have struggled, is on the property management side. Talk a little bit about the difference between the service you guys provide as turnkey providers versus somebody that is thinking of going out there and doing it themselves, going out and building a rental portfolio, having to be the property manager or struggling to try to find the right property manager.
Sure. Well, at the end of the day, Alex, the one thing that we provide to our investor base is our investor clientele is not really real estate investors. They're more dentists, doctors, lawyers, accountants, insurance salesmen, people that are high income, high net worth individuals that are looking to diversify into real estate. Because for the longest time, the real estate industry has done a poor job of catering to investors, unlike the financial services market, which has done an amazing job of catering to high income and high net worth individuals. I mean, think about it. The first time you show up at a job, one of the first papers you fill out is, you know, the 401k match to start investing in the stock market. And you're not, you don't know anything about the stock market, but they've ingrained in you that you need to just, you know, the accumulation method of just saving as much as possible in the stock market and then depleting it down and hoping you don't run out of money at the end of your life. And so we are the opposite. You know, what we're trying to do is really help people invest in passive income. So invest their active dollars into real estate investment tools such as single family homes, multifamily dwellings, duplexes, and the like. And through those investments, have it spit off passive income to offset their active income to reach a point where their passive income will exceed their expenses and they become free for life. So that's kind of how we approach it. Obviously, the property management, as you mentioned, we can do a deep dive on that if you want, but that is a critical component of said process.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is I want to speak to two different people in this podcast. I want to speak to somebody who is interested in continuing to build the real estate investment business the way that you've done. And then I also want to speak to people that maybe are considering placing their active income into real estate, but not necessarily wanting to figure out the property management piece, having to find the tenant. And obviously that's where your company comes into play. So you have grown pretty quickly in the time that I've known you. You know, I don't think 2-3 years ago, you guys were doing 250, 300 doors a year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right, correct. Been in business 20 years. So we have slowly been in growth mode. We've always done somewhere between the past 10 years, we've really done between 90 and 150 deals a year. Put on the accelerator pedal really happened when I hired my COO and you know, was able to start scaling under control.
Yeah.
One thing to scale is another, you know, to have your flying down the highway is fine. If you've got the guardrails on, you've got your digital dashboard in front of you, your KPIs all measured, and you got the people in the right seats. But if you have a wobbly wheel, it becomes a nasty crash pretty quick.
Well, brother, you literally plucked the thought out of my head, and we're tracking on the same page because that's exactly where I wanted to go. The word scale is thrown around so often. It's almost abused at this point, I feel like. And I don't know that everyone has a full understanding of what it means to scale responsibly. And you said it's slightly different. I think you said scale under control. Elaborate a little bit on that, because I think a lot of people that listen to this particular podcast are already doing deals, are already making money. They might have some team members in place and they're attempting to scale, but they're making mistakes in the process. They're incurring a lot of overhead. Their margins are shrinking. Talk about what it means to scale under control.
Absolutely. And that's something that I did not do well initially. So I have some pretty good track record of non-performance. So I've got the battle scars for sure. Scaling out of control is that your audience, I have no doubt, are highly motivated, visionary, go-getter, high D on the disc profile, just hard-charging mavericks, right? They're out there just crushing it and getting deals done. I was certainly one of those guys. The problem with that mindset is that we all have inherent personality profiles and personality mixes gives us strengths and weaknesses. And the weaknesses of that business model is there's no accountability, no process, and they're just deal fund. The hunters and gatherers, they just go crush and find deals. And you got to have that person on the team. But behind that person, you have to have someone, an integrator, as it's called in the industry, or a COO type that will come in just have an undercurrent of accountability and process and building out systems and procedures and manuals to make sure that you can do it responsibly. For the longest time, I tried to do that myself. And you can get to 100 deals a year just kind of doing it on your own. Mm-hmm. But if you truly want to scale, and again, you don't have to. I think that's the other misconception. I think that people think they just have to go bigger to get better. I think a lot of people should just stay around 50 or 60 deals a year and be comfortable with that. But if you really want to scale and get to a BHAG like ours, which is 1,000 homes a year, you have to have the right people and you have to have the right process. Process, process, process. You can't just do something because as soon as you just have people doing without thinking, there's so many, first of all, you become very much reliant on those individuals. If you have one person leave, it's like, oh my gosh, fire stations, our one key employee left and now I need to restructure and train everyone. Your whole ship starts sinking.
That's right.
So having the right people is one thing, but having them and a good company culture is another. But making sure that you have the right systems and processes and procedures so that anyone can either elevate into another position and fill that position below them with someone that can quickly and adequately learn the role through training manuals and processes. Or if that person leaves or is fired, then you can automatically have someone come in and fill that position without missing a step. Yeah, there'll be a pause, but you won't be having to take 5 steps back every time an employee leaves. And yep. So those who are willing to scale, that's a critical component.
Right. And there's so much to unpack there, Mark. So it's funny, you said you use the acronym BHAG. So for those of you that maybe caught that, but not sure what that means, Mark's talking about a big, hairy, audacious goal. And you mentioned that you want to do, your goal is to get to 1,000 homes a year. But then in the same breath, you also said, hey, listen, for some people, doing 50, 60 deals a year or less, whatever that number, it might be perfectly fine for you. I want to definitely ask you about the processes and systems and how you guys go about creating those. But I want to, for a second, ask you, somebody listening, how do you recommend or advise that they know if they should scale to hundreds of deals a year, whatever that number is, or if they should just stay in their lane and, stick to X amount of deals a year? Like, for you, how did you ultimately determine, hey, we want to go big, we want to go 1,000 versus saying, hey, I'm comfortably fine with a business that does 100 to 300 deals a year?
Yeah, I think for each individual person, they just have to kind of take some time to think. It's easy to just go do. I like to say it's easier to do than to think. And if you actually slow down and start thinking, the role of the CEO, the role of the business owner is to actually start thinking and giving some strategy to the organization. And so for me, I just had some time of internal reflection and talked to some other people that were in the organization about where I wanted to go and how that would impact them and if they thought we could get there and what strain that would put on our families and our lives. And if we didn't have the right people in place, mm-hmm. I would not be scaling if I didn't have the right people in place. And so for those that just say, hey, I'm doing 50 deals, I want to get to 150. Well, you better check that you've got the right training and hiring and onboarding process for new people, because the same people that got you to here will not get you to that next level. And that's one thing you've got to get comfortable with is, there's so much turnover when you scale, because the same people that can help you in 50 deals will not be the same people that can help you do 5 or 1,000. And so I'm not saying go fire everybody. I'm saying it's just inherent that some people grow into their roles, but they're capped. And the biggest differentiator for me, which is, again, I'm going down another rabbit hole, Alex, but when I finally made the commitment to hire talent is when I knew that we could explode. The one thing that held me back for a long time was just hiring, picking a salary, like I don't want to pay more than $50,000 for this position, rather than thinking, I want to go get the best person at this position. And then they will help me scale. And whatever I have to pay them to get that talent on board, that will be worth it. And that is a massive mindset shift for someone that's a small business owner, mm-hmm. is hiring talent. If you truly want to scale, you have to bring on more talented people than you. It used to be an insult. You know, people that are maverick and that they want to be the smartest guy in the room. They always want to be trying to capitalize on being the smartest. As soon as you can be the dumbest guy in the room, that's when you're winning. And I think people want to be the other way around. We can hire so much talented, like niche experts for every role that you have in the org. That's when you know you'll be winning.
And I think about, it's funny, you know, I'm watching the, I don't know if you ever saw it on the History Channel, The Men That Built America.
Oh, yeah.
About Vanderbilt and Carnegie and Ford. And it's so inspiring. And it's just to watch how visionaries like those guys just built this country, really. And one of the things I think about is, you know, Henry Ford, I think somebody asked him a question. What if you don't have the answer? And he said, I don't need to have the answer, but I have this phone and I can press a button and I can connect with somebody on my team that has the answer. And that thought popped in my head as I hear you speak about the fact that you had a mindset shift to say, hey, I'm not trying to, like, you know, skimp out and pay somebody X amount of dollars a year, but I'm looking for talent because I've decided to scale. Curious, brother, what was your ultimate why in saying, hey, let's put this BHAG out there of 1,000 homes a year? Like, what's ultimately behind that?
So I think it was an internal reflection for me, Alex, to say it was more of a why not. And why I was not doing it was because I was fearful. And I hate living in fear. And if I'm just being very transparent with you, but I think I was probably in a place where I was just too comfortable. And I'll be honest, I was kind of at a point personally where I could have just folded up shop. My rentals were doing great. I got the property management company. We can just dial it all down, do no more deals, and I'm fine. I can just live comfortably. That's just not who I am. And I knew I wanted to push myself further. I don't want to be, someone said the other day, I may get this wrong because I just heard it the other day for the first time. I'm trying to recite it for the first time, but it was something along the lines of when you get to the doors of heaven and there's a list of, you know, things that you've done, and it'll be, hey, great job, great job, great job. But then you would also be shown the potential of what you could have been. And you'll have to compare what I was and what I could have been, what God made me to be. That's kind of where I was at. It's like, I feel like I can do more. I don't want to just be okay. I've always been like, God gave me this burning desire as an entrepreneur and to really challenge myself as an entrepreneur. And I think that's where I had to kind of do some internal reflection of just, look, I'm not going to coast through life. That's not who I am. I'm not going to, you know, just kind of pack it in and say, hey, I win, you know, I win the game of money. And so now I can sit on a beach and do that. You know, part of it is having an impact and changing lives. And this really is an industry where we have, the industry itself has done a poor job of catering to allow others to passively invest in real estate. It's very, very difficult. Most people that are out there have to, you know, find an agent and find a contractor and find a property management company. And we're just doing all of that for them. I mean, each of those branches like has multiple hurdles along the way, as you know. So we are trying to be, you know, we're trying to make real estate as easy as clicking a button to invest in. And anyone in the world can just click on a button, accept one of our deals, and they can start investing in real estate. That's our big goal.
I love it, man. I love it. By the way, so I don't know if it's the same person, but I heard Ed Milet talk about that on a podcast, and he shared how when he gets to heaven, he doesn't want to live with regret. And what he meant by that was he believes that he's going to meet the best version of himself. And he says his job here on earth is to bridge the gap between that conversation where he wants the best version of himself to tell him when he gets to heaven, great job. Like, you've maximized your potential. And his job on earth.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at. Yeah, I've heard it from someone different, but I'll have to go watch that. That's exactly. You just don't want to live with regret. There's this always this little fear on your own shoulder of anything you do. It's kind of the fear of what's next, the fear of the unknown. And so I just didn't want to have that be the reason that I didn't pursue excellence. And so getting out of my own way and then surrounding myself with really talented people, you know, helped move forward.
That's such valuable insight. I want to take a left turn for a second before we transition and we talk about like the passive side of the business. How do you do that, Mark, in your opinion? How do you tap into your full potential? How do you go after that big, hairy, audacious goal of 1,000 homes a year while at the same time still keeping what's most important to you at the forefront of your life? You know, I know for you, it's your faith, it's your family. You're an amazing, you know, husband and father. So for people listening that have this burning desire to go out and conquer the world, you know, build the biggest building in town, so to speak, what's your advice on pursuing those aspirations while at the same time not sacrificing family, not sacrificing whatever might be important to them outside of business?
Great question. I think the answer to that is about time. Everyone has enough time, right? There's 40 hours that you can go crush in the week, but that still leaves a ton of more time the rest of the week that you can actually be with the family. So time blocking, time management, you know, you hear it talk about all the time, but I think that those that don't spend their time wisely at work, those that are lackadaisically going through the day without any thought or plan or strategy, are the ones that lose out. And I think those that build a business around being a funnel of kind of top-down decision-making, you know, it's like a genius with 1,000 helpers. Those are the ones that can dangerously spiral out of control, where they just surround themselves with doers and not thinkers. So, hey, go do this. And then when they do it, they come back, hey, I ran into this problem. And then you solve their problem for them. You do it again. Hey, I ran into this problem. You solve their problem. That will eat into your time, which will cause stress on you. You feel like you need to be at the office all the time to get these things resolved. And you can always on your phone, and it will destroy your home life. As soon as you start hiring talented individuals that can think for themselves and, you know, really grow your business when you're not around, that's when you take it to the next level. So I think how I did it was realizing that, you know, time blocking for family. So right now I have Fridays where it's just my wife and I have date day Fridays and enjoy that. The office knows that they don't schedule anything there. Another big step for me was getting an executive assistant, you know, who is control of my calendar. Sit down and plan out your year, plan out your day, plan out your week so that you can actually time block. And so I think you just live intentionally would be the question to that. You know, if you really care about your family, then show it through your calendar. I think your calendar can sometimes be a good indication of where you want to spend your time.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's funny you said that. I always, if I look at your calendar and your bank account, I can pretty much tell you what your priorities are, you know, despite what you say your priorities might be. So that's hugely valuable. I really want to encourage people to go back and listen to this podcast. And if nothing else, rewind the last 5 to 10 minutes, because there's so much wisdom and perspective and everything that you just shared, Mark. So now let's talk about, there's so many people listening to this that are in the grind, as they say. They're hustling from deal to deal, whether it's wholesale or fix and flip, and it's a high paying job, you know, and you've successfully scaled under control, or scaled responsibly, as I say, your business. And one of the valuable services that you provide is the turnkey side of it, you know, where you find the property, you renovate it, you fill it with a quality tenant. And then now you're working with high net worth individuals that don't have the time to do that. Talk a little bit about some of the benefits. And I just kind of touched on one of them, but some of the benefits of maybe somebody listening to this and saying, you know, hey, I want to stick to my lane. I'm really good at what I do here. And I don't have time to go build a property management company and find the properties in different markets, that kind of thing.
I want to kind of answer that in two ways. So I'll answer about the benefits of an organization like ours, and I appreciate you, you know, referencing that. But first, I want to say, for those out there that are doing the hustle and grind, please know that I'm a firm believer that real estate is an asset class that should be bought and never sold. So for those that are looking to truly build wealth, real estate's a crockpot business, not a microwave business. It's a business of getting wealthy slowly over time, not getting rich quick. So although I understand that myself and those in the business that might be listening in that are wholesalers and flippers and rehabbers that are grinding out there, that's their active income. I understand that they have to make transactional income. But please hear me. My wealth has been just accumulated through not selling real estate. So it's the cash you don't take that builds your wealth. And that's the irony here, is that if you could just, for every 3 houses you flip, you just hold one. So if you're doing 50 houses a year, to dial that back where you're only flipping maybe 40 and you keep 10 houses a year for 10 years. And so again, you know, what do they say? Delayed gratification is a sign of maturity. Never has that been more prevalent than in real estate, Alex. I mean, people might say, oh, it's at the top of the market, so I'm going to start selling now. In 10 years time, in 20 years time, you'll look back and wish that you held on to everything that you have. So all I'm saying is, please, please, please hear me. Real estate is the greatest wealth accumulation method out there. And there's no need to go pour the money into crypto or stocks or bonds. Look, if you want to gamble with some money, go do it. Real estate's just the sure play. It's not sexy, but it's just the sure thing. It's the guarantee of future wealth is by buying and holding. And that's where what I did is from 2001, I just hold 1 or 2 houses every year. So 20 years later, you know, we're now sitting on a portfolio of around 70 assets myself, and the majority of those are paid off.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. So that I want to say just as an aside, because I'm a firm believer that all of your people, everyone listening, should be holding a certain portion of real estate. Now, having said that, you asked about turnkey. My belief is that collaboration over competition or collaboration over trying to DIY firmly never been more true than in real estate. And I think that those that want to get into passive real estate should seriously consider a turnkey provider. And I'm not even saying call us up because right now we're oversubscribed as we are, but find a turnkey provider, at least find a property management company that can manage your assets for you. Property management is one of the greatest challenges of our role. It's the most critical in our role because it absolutely delivers on the two big killers of cash flow, which are vacancy and maintenance. If you could eliminate vacancy, eliminate maintenance from your real estate, everyone would buy it all because they're right. You know, not to. So, and property management absolutely controls those two key factors. So for those that are considering buying a portfolio and are smart enough to say, hey, you know what, I want to do that, but I know I'm not a good property manager, or I don't want to get involved, just realize that there are other people out there. They will earn the value and deliver value by such great service in the property management space.
Yeah, I know. And I completely understand where you're coming from. So I want to serve whoever's listening to this by asking you these questions. So for somebody so it's kind of a two-part question, Mark. For somebody interested in pursuing this without relying on the expertise of a company like yours, a full turnkey service provider, and they want to go out and build this portfolio and maybe handle the property management themselves or find the right property management company, what are some questions or what are some things that somebody listening to this should be asking and should be looking for in a reliable, trustworthy, competent property management company?
Awesome. Great question. That is a very good question that everyone please listen into the answer here, because that Alex just basically, you know, opened up the entire Pandora's box to say, how do I go do that exact thing? It's a very pointed question. And the answer is twofold. The first is technology and the second is KPIs. So you want to make sure that your property management company that knows what they're doing. So they should be able to tell you what's your average days off market, what's your average days in of turning a unit, what is your current vacancy rate, how much ad spend do you have to get per unit to get it quickly, you know, released again? What are the trouble properties or trouble areas that you should avoid, you know, working with them to build a portfolio of quality assets in a good part of town? So that's one thing. The second thing is the use of technology. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, Alex, we've gone so far in advance of where others are at. And that's one of the reasons we do so well. We're actually pre-leasing our properties now. So we're using Matterport. I'm sure everyone's probably familiar with Matterport, but it's just a virtual tour technology. So we're using professional pictures and Matterport virtual tour technology on all of our properties as soon as they come out of rehab. So then forever afterwards, when we're trying to get it rented, as soon as that tenant gives notice 60 days out, we can put that same virtual tour up there and people are actually COVID friendly, walking through the property virtually. Right. And actually, you know, it's a stage unit. They can see where they are. So we're actually putting the property up 60 days out, getting probably 5 to 10 applications even before the property becomes vacant, and then immediately turning the property just like that. We're reducing the owner's vacancy and effectively the maintenance through this technology. So that's one of the things. We're using digital self-showing lockboxes, and that should be something that you want them to do, because if someone tries to say, oh, no, we still take the care and the time to go tour the property, you know, with a leasing agent, my response to that would be, so if you have 10 properties that are vacant this weekend and you have 8 hours of glorious sunny showing time, that is 160 hours over the weekend, 80 hours per day on Saturday, Sunday that you could have. But if you only have one leasing agent, they can maybe show 3 or 4 properties a day, and then you get stood up and there's drive time and all of this. You're taking 160 hours and bringing it down to 10. Those digital self-showing lockboxes have transformed the industry, and there's ways to make it a very safe showing. And so you want to make sure they embrace that technology to make sure that they're just opening the funnel up to as many people as possible.
Dude, so that could be right there. Your answer to that question, Mark, could be its own mini podcast. And for anybody thinking about interviewing or trying to find the right property management company, listen to that 2, 3, 4 times and make sure you ask those questions. Find out what technology they're leveraging. And also, Mark, I would add, I remember when I was interviewing my property management company out in Cleveland, I want to know, you know, and you alluded to the importance of systems, standard operating procedure, processes, checklist. Asking them, you know, how do you handle something simple like rent is due on the first, and let's say it's the second and rent hasn't come in. How do you handle that? Like, what are their systems? What are their processes? And so you want to make sure that you're working with professionals that are not just kind of winging it, but that are doing things in a standardized way.
We have a saying here, Alex, that automation equals freedom. And so to that end, again, technology, everything. What software are they using? what automations get sent out on a monthly basis and what triggers those automations. If you ask those kind of questions and someone's like, oh my God, I'm so glad you asked, because they're so excited about automation, knowing that automation equals the freedom of time for their employees and they can go work on bigger things, and they'll start telling you all the different ways that when we get a notification, it sends an automatic email, and then we get a notification from the painter that he's done, and it automates this response. And you can nerd out on that stuff all day long. And as soon as you have someone smile and get energized by that, you'll know that you've got the right manager.
I love it. Incredible. So now let's actually speak to somebody that's like, man, I see the value in, you know, just working with the right companies, working with a good turnkey provider. I don't have a desire, or I don't have the bandwidth or the time to go out and try to find a property management company, find the deal. Maybe people that are just sitting on cash in the bank or are very liquid and they don't have the money in alternative investments. What are the benefits that a company like yours, and I don't want to make this sound like a pitch for Mark's company, but I want to kind of speak just to like turnkey providers in general, for somebody thinking, hey, I see the value in this. I want to own real estate without having the headaches and the stress of finding it, managing it, rehabbing it, et cetera. Speak to the benefits of, you know, what turnkey providers can do and who that's for.
Yeah. So I always say, if you are at the point where you're now wondering not how much money I can make, but how I can make money off my money, that's the time to start thinking about investing, you know, your money passively in real estate. And that's really our clientele is, you know, high income, high net worth individuals that are sitting on stacks of hundreds, right? As in hundreds of thousands. And they're wanting to buy and invest and start getting into the real estate game. And it's a pretty simple play for us, because in the same way that an investor is willing to trust a financial advisor to invest their money in the stock market, and then you parlay that into, do you think diversification out of just solely investing in paper and investing in real estate is a smart thing to do? Of course, the response is yes, but I've never had someone that can help me do that. So I just say, look, we're a real estate financial advisory firm that allows people to safely and strategically and systematically, meaning over and over again, invest in real estate in good areas of town. And so, yeah, that's the game. I don't think there's any negatives. I think, you know, those that would challenge the model, they say, well, you know, you guys are paying market value. You're selling these assets at near market value. I said, yeah, we've really remodeled them. We've got a tenant in place with the property manager in place. It is a turnkey system of just hitting a button saying invest and be gone. If someone is worried about what's the property going to be worth in 2 years' time if the market corrects, my answer would be, you're not selling this asset.
That's right.
So why do you care in 2 years' time? You know, you have three exit strategies with real estate, right? So people say, well, if I'm going to buy and hold, one of the best exit strategy is to never exit, meaning that you will exit this earth and your heirs will inherit that property. Because currently, knock on wood, we have a thing called step-up basis that's currently under attack from the government. Same way they're trying to take away the 1031 exchange, they're talking about taking away step-up basis. I don't think that will happen, but you know, watch this space. Step-up basis has been around for a long time and allows those people that have held on to assets, particularly, you know, a great example of real estate, to take the current market value of those assets and transfer at that rate to their heirs. Mm-hmm. So let's say someone builds up a $10 million portfolio and they pass away, but their basis has obviously been depreciated down to zero. So they've got zero basis. They've got $10 million in assets. That if they were to sell those assets, they would have to pay tax on those assets, typically long-term capital gains of around 20% right before they pass away. But if they pass away, and so then they're paying a $2 million tax on a $10 million portfolio at best. If they waited and then just deeded those assets after they pass away to their children inherited $10 million, they could sell it next day at $10 million and they would pay zero in tax. That's or right. They could inherit a $10 million and just keep that cash flow coming. So many powerful ways that real estate can help change your life over time. And I'm 20 years in, so I can confidently speak to the fact that it's changed my life. And correspondingly, I can speak to the fact that I'm talking with people now, you know, that are living in regret saying, oh man, I wish that I had bought real estate back in the day. Yeah. I'm like, well, the best day to buy real estate was yesterday. The next best day is today. Right. But don't wait till tomorrow.
You know, a little bit ago, Mark, you also alluded to the fact of, you know, in a nutshell, you basically said, don't wait to buy real estate, but buy real estate and wait. Like you don't believe in exiting or selling real estate. Brother, every now and then I come through old wholesale emails from like 2011, 12, 13. And I know how much I made on those deals, 15, 20, 40, 50 grand in some cases. And I still kick myself to this day because every now and then I come across properties and I'm like, if I would have only kept that one.
And Alex, you're looking at an industry right now that is being transformed by Wall Street, institutional buyers that are coming in and gobbling up every asset that they can. In fact, we are now working with said buyers to start that because they're wanting to, as much as they can. They're reaching out to firms like us saying, hey, in this market, can we buy all your assets? In this market that we know you're in, can we buy all your assets? And they're willing to pay us more sometimes than what you could sell for on the open market. Mm-hmm. So the question is, are we the dumb ones for selling the asset or are they the dumb ones for buying the asset at that price? And I would challenge you that if you look back in 30 years' time, that money is not dumb money. That money is smart money. They know what they're doing and they're trying to accumulate as much real estate as they can. And everyone out there that says it's a bad time to buy real estate and hold on to it right now, I would absolutely think that that is counterintuitive because Wall Street is gobbling up as much as they possibly can right now. Yeah. And for those that think that the market's going to tank and take another 2008, it will not happen for many, many reasons.
So well said, Mark. And I think it's a perfect way to wrap up the show. I want to ask you about mistake-free real estate. I want to talk about your podcast and believe you have a book as well, correct?
Yeah. So I wrote a book. Finally got to the point in my life where I wanted to just kind of, you know, give back. And Mistake-Free Real Estate is a quick read. It was my first iteration of putting pen to paper, but very proud of it. It's just kind of a passive investor's guide to winning with rental property. So for those that might be wanting to think, how can I do next? Go to mistakefreerealestate.com. At mistakefreerealestate.com, you have my book, Mistake-Free Real Estate, as well as shows of our podcast, where we talk to some of those people that have gone out there and built a portfolio of 20 or 30 assets and are going through. So you'll be able to hear from people, high income individuals and investors that have gone through and used our system of buying and building up a portfolio. It's been a fun way for me to give back and educate.
I love it. I definitely want to encourage you and I can co-sign that, you know, I know Mark pretty well. And not only is he a seasoned investor and business owner, as you can, you know, just see, but the guy operates with the highest of integrity. And that's one of the reasons I was so drawn to him. And one of the first handful of people you were one of the guys that I seeked out, you know, to just get perspective and wisdom from, not just because of your savvy, but again, that I know you operate with integrity. And so love the fact that you've gotten to a place in your business and life now where it's about giving back. Yes, you have big, hairy, audacious goals, but just as important, I know you to be is you want to help people. And that's the reason that, you know, you're on this podcast. It's not so much to promote something, but it's to give back and help. And so, man, I just want to recognize you for that. I appreciate you for being a thought leader in the industry and for being just, dude, one of the good guys, because we know there's some people out there that don't operate with integrity. And so proud to call you a friend, man. It's awesome to have you on the show here. I want to end with one question that's not so much about real estate, but it's the, you know, you've been in this industry 20 years now. You're a pretty young guy. Rewind the clock 20 years. What is one piece of advice or one lesson learned? And it can be about business, but it doesn't have to be. It could be about life as well in general. What's one thing you wish you knew 20 years ago that you've gained through the benefit of just being, you know, just living and experiencing and running a business the last 20 years? What's something you wish you knew back then?
Yeah, I think collaboration over competition is kind of something that I come back to. It's a time in my life right now where I'm reflecting that, you know, I'm not a guy that lives with regrets, Alex, so I'm not going to beat my former self up too much because you operate with the best information you have with you at the time. But if I could jump in a DeLorean and go back and give myself some information, you can tell I'm an 80s child. I'd probably just say, you know, look to partner with those talented individuals and reward them, you know, appropriately. Don't try and be the answer to every question. Mm. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. Collaborate, partner, and value. Also, you know, there's a book called Who Not How,
yep,
which is very, very powerful and kind of speaks to that. And, you know, I think for the longest time I was that genius with 1,000 helpers thinking I had the answer to everything, was just trying to tell everyone what to do. And I think, you know, surrounding myself with the more talented individuals earlier on would probably have allowed me to get to where I'm at just a little bit quicker.
That's a gem, my friend. I want to wrap on that. So Mark, best place to connect with you, is it mistakefreerealestate.com?
Yeah, sure. Check me out there. I think I'm on Insta at Mark Delator, Facebook. But yeah, mistakefreerealestate.com is a good place to start. Give some good information out to those people there.
Beautiful. And as always, my friends, I appreciate you being on the show. We will include all the links and resources that Mark mentioned in the show notes page. So make sure you're subscribed so you get notified every Monday morning, Thursday morning when new shows come out. And encourage you to check out Mark's site and the book and the podcast, mistakefreerealestate.com. And as with anything, you know, I've shared and I've talked about the concept of speed of implementation. Don't be overwhelmed by trying to build a business overnight. It takes years and it takes you, like Mark said, living intentionally and being very thoughtful and purposeful. So put one step ahead of the other, you know, be very thoughtful about what you want to build and then take action. Go about the business of actually doing it and collaborating, like Mark said, not viewing people as competition, plugging into the right resources like this podcast, like Mark's podcast. And if we can help you in any way, add any additional value, just reach out to us. And with that said, that's a wrap. Mark, you are the man, dude. I can't wait to be sitting right next to you there on that awesome studio you've built. So really appreciate you, my friend.
We'll do it again soon, Alex. Thanks, mate.
Take care, everyone. Have a great one. Hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, you know, I've had a lot of people recently reach out to me wanting to learn more about Ascend, wanting to understand how the mastermind component works, how the coaching relationship works. And so right now we're actually on a waiting list. But what I would encourage you to do is if you think you're the right fit and you think you could benefit from being a part of our community, head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, watch the short video, and then just click the apply to join button below. And then we'll be in contact with you if and when a spot opens up. So really appreciate you listening to Flip Empire here. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Take care.